I go away to Uganda and come back to find that the garden has been cleared and that a patio has been built and that Ali actually did it. Amazing. What an amazing wife. That meant I didn't have to do that hard graft. Yeah, there you go. And in our garden, we've got lots of different trees. We've got a big oak tree, probably been there for a couple of hundred years. And we've got a cherry tree, we've got an apple tree, and we've got a pear tree. And as I was looking at all of this and more that is deposited in our garden, actually at the back of our garden, got me thinking about the scripture to do with about us abiding in the vine and how the Bible says that that we are pruned and any unfruitful branch is cut off. And there was in our cherry tree, we had a, I think it was the wind or something that had broken the branch, or there was some disease. And there was a lot of fruit actually on that diseased branch, but it needed to be cut off so that the tree wouldn't die and in the future that tree could go on to bear more fruit. And, you know, there's an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit that he is at work in our lives every day to make us become more fruitful. And fruitfulness is something that is on God's heart. Can you all say fruitfulness? And, you know, this was cut down a few days ago. This is a bay tree by the looks of it. But it doesn't take very long before the tree begins to wither and to die. Why? Because it's not connected to the plant, obviously. Life comes when we're connected to the plant, when we're connected into the vine, when we're connected in to the root, because it's the root that provides the nutrients. It's quite cool standing here with half a tree. And so I wanted us to think about that, about are we plugged in to Jesus? Are we connected to him? Because outside of being connected to Jesus, life is hard, difficult, and we won't be as fruitful as we can be when we're totally plugged in and connected to Jesus. And over these next few weeks, we're going to be looking at abiding in God and what it means to really spend time just receiving the life of who God is into our lives. And today I want to specifically look at the subject of intimacy with God, spending time with God, abiding with God, spending time in God's presence, letting the life of who he is flow into us so that life can flow out, so we can be fruitful. Who wants to be fruitful? Anybody? Yes. All of us are destined to be fruitful. God wants you to be fruitful. That's why you can smile this morning and you can rest in his presence. Everyone go like this. Ah. I can't hear you. Come on. Ah. You can rest in God's presence because, you know, ultimately God has done everything for you. He's won the victory on the cross. He's overcome death and hell. He's overcome every enemy that you had. You know, as children of God, you're favored and you can rest in the presence and the favor of God. And so this morning, I wanted to look briefly about what it means to be connected into the vine, about pruning, but also what it means to not strive in God, but to rest in the assurance of what he has won for us on the cross. Because it is truly wonderful. And so I'm hoping that you feel encouraged today. I'm hoping that you feel happy today. Yes. Because this is amazing news. God is amazing news. So I want to read at John 15, verses 1 to 12. I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Fantastic words, isn't it? And, you know, fruitfulness is something that is really on the heart of God. It seems important to him. Earlier on in chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way. We know this, don't we? I'm the way, the truth. Come on, Susanna. The way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through. You've got to help me this morning. Yes. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And, you know, Jesus here is talking about him being the Messiah. And it's so important, you know, that we keep reminding ourselves that we need a Savior, don't we? I don't know about you, but I need a Savior. Every day, I need a Savior to know that forgiveness afresh for things that I've done, things where I've messed up, things where I've let others down, things where I've let God down. To know afresh every day, his mercies are new every day. To know that I need and we need a Savior is important. And, you know, there have been some pretty strange and actually dangerous teachings going on in the church. One of those being about hyper grace. I'm sure some of you have heard about that. In other words, that because of God's grace, everybody will be saved. And if you take it to its extreme, then actually people teach that there is no hell, there's no such thing as sin, and God's grace covers it all. It's a dangerous teaching because it takes one of the most precious teachings of the Bible, grace, and taints it and perverts it and changes it into something that it's not. Paul said, shall I sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. Oh, so there's, because of God's grace and God's love, I can do whatever I like because God will forgive me. There is a tension, isn't there, between trusting in the finished work of the cross, but also working out our own salvation, the Bible says, with fear and trembling in respect to God. We need a Savior. Do you need a Savior? I need a Savior. I need to be planted. I need to be grafted in. I need to be in that place where life is coming, not out of just my own energy or our own energy, but it's coming from the root. It's coming from Jesus. You know, that's the safest place to be, is to be rooted and grounded in God. And I want just to say, let's not take any risks in trying to do things on our own or trying to do things or take the grace of God for granted. You know, he's our Father. He has shown us his great love towards us. Yet because of that immense love, we don't therefore take him or his love or his grace for granted. We're always in a place of awe and respect and love and honor for God. Because if he removes the favor off our lives, then you were finished. But his grace enables us. He covers us. So what's Jesus telling us this morning? Jesus said, I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. So a branch, obviously, this is not receiving any life because it's been cut off from the tree. And I don't know what anybody, any gardeners here know what this is? I don't know. Peter and Diane, come on, you should, do you know? I don't know what it is. It's not looking particularly healthy. I don't know what it is, but anyway, there you go. A branch gets its life from the vine. So just as these branches are withering and dying, therefore we need, as Christians, to be grafted in to Jesus. So remaining in Jesus, abiding in Jesus, is the essential thing for us as Christians. You know, the moment that you committed your life to God, you repented of your sin, you invited God to come into your life, you are grafted into the life of Jesus so that you would live and that you can thrive in God. So I want to just make it simple this morning. Stay in relationship with Jesus. Keep it simple. Stay in relationship with Jesus. Abide in God. Stay intimate with God. I remember, anybody remember in the 80s, I had my first, I was never a boy racer because I was a drummer. So I always needed an estate car. And so my first car was a Mark 1 Ford Escort Estate. And it was like, it was literally like a cardboard box. There was no styling to it at all. It was just square. The heater was fully always on cold and pumping cold air. So if I drive anywhere, I'd end up absolutely frozen because I couldn't turn this thing on. If it had a flat tire, I couldn't jack it up because it was so rusty. And the whole thing would crack and groan. And I mean, we all need a first car like that, don't we? I mean, it's this, you got to have a car like that to look back on. And but I had a thank God for, a red thank God for Jesus sticker in my car. You remember that? And I wasn't ashamed. I mean, it's looking back on it, but I wasn't ashamed to have that on my car and to let everybody to know that I was a Christian. Actually, I remember my dad said, I want to drive, can I borrow your car? He said, but I'm not going to drive it with that sticker on. I'm like, come on, Father. But I wasn't ashamed to tell people that I love God. You know, when you love somebody, you want to tell people about it, don't you? Do you? Yeah, I mean, that's, hopefully we're not ashamed to say this is my wife, this is the person who's nearest and dearest to me, and hopefully we're not ashamed to say I am a Christian and I love God with all of my heart because he loved me. So I think I'm going to order some thank God for Jesus stickers. Stick them on. No, I'm not. Okay. But let's be bold. Let's be those that aren't ashamed to talk about the love that we have, you know, because I wasn't in, and those of us that had this, we're not into religion, are we? We're into a relationship. Being intimate with God. It's not about coming to church, standing up and talking in a funny voice as we connect with the Lord. Amen. It's not about that, is it? It's about a relation, an everyday relationship with God. And when we spend time in the presence of God, God impacts our lives. Abiding in God rather than just attending or going to a place of worship where we do worship. But abiding in God is letting the life of the vine, because we're grafted into Him, totally change and transform our life. And that is one of the purposes that God is about, working in your life by the Holy Spirit to encourage you, to build you up, to bring you joy, to that overcoming spirit that He has to place in you. So whatever you face, and we were singing it, God can do anything. He's powerful. He can do all things. I mean, we've been singing that. Do we believe it? Yes. So when situations or the enemy puts issues or problems or difficulties in our way, we don't retract, but we deal with those things in the name of Jesus, the powerful name, the name above every name, that thing, that enemy, that problem, that difficulty, it has to get out of the way, because the name of Jesus and the authority of Jesus is the greatest and most powerful presence that there is. And He lives in you, doesn't He? Yes, He does. We don't have to shy away from that. So the heart of the message today is that Jesus is calling us into an intimate relationship with Him, abiding in God, not just knowing about God, but having intimate fellowship with Him. And you know what that's going to do? It's going to produce fruit. Everybody say fruit. I've just been to Uganda. They have amazing fruits there. I'm not sure if an avocado is a fruit or a vegetable. It's a fruit, is it? Yeah, it's one of those funny. I love avocados. Anybody like avocados? Oh, they have like avocados there like rugby balls. I mean, they are just. And passion fruit and mangoes and papaya and all of the things. It's heaven there. But you know, God wants to produce even greater fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, the character of God in you. You know, that's what He's about. And you know, that's what brings Him great joy, is when His character, the fruit of being grafted into the vine, that the fruit that creates. You know, when fruit that is God's looking for is a transformed life, a life that is surrendered to Him. There's nothing more beautiful than that. A life that is dedicated, totally submitted, totally surrendered to God. Wow, what can God do with a life like that? I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. I'll speak to whoever. I'll lay my life down for the church and for You, Lord. Just thank You that You're sending me on a mission. You know, that is exciting. Nobody needs to sit here and think, oh, what's God got for me? God's got amazing things for you to do. Amazing things for you to do. We're in church an hour and a half a week. The mission field is out there every day, Monday morning when you get into work, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. It's there. And we need to encourage each other. Remain in the vine. Draw that life from who God is, so that we can live a life on mission, making an impact. You know, the fruit that the Father is looking for, we can't make it happen in our own strength. You can't make it happen in your own strength. How is fruit produced? You know, the Bible says that once we were lost, but now we are, woohoo! I was blind, but now I see. Wow! I mean, I loved that message that Peter gave. You know, he says, do you remember Peter Nemhart? He said, you don't need all the theology. You don't need all of the long explanation about how the world came about and to witness. He said, it's simple. Share your testimony. I once was blind, but now I see. You are an amazing witness for Christ because of what God has done in you. Never forget that. Share the hope that you have. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 10 says, for you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the world, the kingdom of the air, and the spirit who now is at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of the flesh and following its desires and thoughts, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But listen to this. But because of his great love for us, that God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. For it is by grace that we've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, but it is a gift of God, not by works, lest anyone boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. You know, as a result of remaining grafted into the vine, there's a work of God wanting to produce fruit in our lives. And what does Galatians 5, verse 22? It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. You got to help me. Love, joy, patience, peace, kindness. There's a song saying, love, joy, patience, and peace, kindness, and goodness too. Gentleness, faithfulness, self-control will show that God lives in you. Boom, boom. Yeah. Love, joy, patience. Thank you very much. Yeah. Love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Now, what do you notice about that? What do you notice about that list? Love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. There's no doing, but it's a work of character that is one of the aspects that we're going to look at today, that God wants us to grow in. To bear fruit, you know, we have to be willing to let go of our old life. We have to be willing to let go and surrender to God. Is that easy? Sometimes that can be the hardest thing to do, is to let God take control of our lives. But you know, it's when we do that, that's where we see God doing incredible and amazing things in our lives. God wants to bring us to a place of total surrender, where we will make a willful choice to surrender our will, to die to ourselves, to die to our future, to give our everything and give it all to God. It's called total surrender. Can you say that? Total surrender. You know, that is an amazing place to be. What can God do with a people like ourselves that are totally surrendered to God? Incredible what God could do in and through us. So, Jesus is also calling us into relationship with him, to remain in him. John 15, verse 4. Says, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. You know, we're talking about doing, and doing or being. You know, it's so important that before we do anything in the church, that we are before we do. Do you understand what I mean by that? Now, I've been a Christian a long time. and I've been in ministry for a long time. And it's so easy to be busy. But busyness is not always relationship. Keeping ourselves busy with doing stuff. Actually, sometimes that's even easier to do than it is to be quiet and to abide in God. Are you understanding what I mean? I want to encourage you this morning that there is a place for just resting in God and not doing. And actually, to think about, am I doing things, which is not a bad thing to be doing stuff for God, but am I doing things before I'm being and resting and remaining and abiding and being grafted into the vine? Because, you know, sometimes when we're so busy, it's kind of like we disconnect. We can be that we kind of like disconnect ourselves from the vine and we're just going to do our own thing. We're just so busy. We're doing, I'm serving the Lord and I'm doing this and I'm serving this area in the church. And I'm doing this outside and I'm doing this. And before you know it, you know, kind of the oxygen supply has been. And you know, that's how people get burnt out. And that's how people get discouraged. And that's how people come to the point of sometimes falling away from church and falling out of relationship and falling out of love with God. It's because they've been doing rather than being. Because it's the most wonderful thing to serve God out of being empowered, God empowering us. It's great to do after we've abided and rested in God. It's great to do because we've been commissioned rather than doing because we feel that we have to earn somehow. You understand what I mean? The favor of God. Because salvation is not of works, it's by grace. But we do works as a result of the love that's been shed abroad in our hearts. It's not like, well, I can just sit back and do nothing because I'm going to heaven. We do works, don't we? Because we've experienced and been transformed by God. But I want to encourage you today, take time to rest in God and enjoy what He has done for us as a father to His children. So let me ask you a question. How is your relationship with God? So do you have a long distance relationship? I mean, when I was in Uganda, I'm trying to Skype and Facebook and, you know, talk to Ali. It's much more difficult having a distant relationship than it is when I can sit down and talk with her one-to-one. How is your relationship with God? All relationships go through peaks and troughs. And I think even our relationship with God sometimes, if we're honest, sometimes we feel more closer to God. Sometimes we go through difficulties or we just go through seasons where we feel actually, you know, God, where are you? And it's maintaining a routine, remaining faithful to God, continuing to meet with God in our quiet time, praying, sometimes even when we don't feel like it, to maintain that relationship with Him. Because if we don't, what do? We become disconnected. We're not grafted in anymore. And sooner or later, you know, we look at our lives and we see the kind of like leaves beginning to wither. Because we're not connected in. So, love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. And those are the things that please God. Those are the things that is working in your life by the Holy Spirit. Are you understanding what I'm saying this morning, remain in the vine. Sometimes rest. Take time to abide with God, you know, to take time aside. You know, I never realized this before I was married. I just thought when two people are married and they're in the same home, of course that they just talk about things. I never realized that when you have children, that it's possible to go days without having any kind of in-depth conversation. Years even, Colin. That's not something to boast about, okay? I'm going to put you in for marriage counseling, okay? You know, see, we might go, I might with, sorry to pick on my wife, but, come in from work and, hi, darling, and what's for tea? So we have tea and then, right, I'm off out now. So, and, you know, that was the communication. Or, hi, darling, right, I'm going to put the kids to bed. So you put the kids to bed and then, it's 9 o'clock and then you watch a bit of TV and you go to bed. And you can be in the same home, but not even communicate. So if I want my marriage to be a success, and men, please listen to me, we need to communicate to our wives, even when we don't understand how it works. Wives want you to sit down, give them 100% of your attention, look into their eyes, not be getting your phone out. You know, it means a lot, actually, to say, darling, I'm going to leave my phone upstairs, and I'm going to come down, and I'm going to spend some time with you, because you're my priority. And I'm not saying I'm the perfect husband, because my wife can certainly, but guys, it means a lot to communicate with our wife. Put your phones aside, turn them off. Sit down with your wife. Communicate at a deeper level than just what's for tea. It will make a difference. And you know what? So often, we do this with our relationship with God. We kind of just pop into to God's presence. What's for tea? Yeah, okay. And just as we need to invest in our relationships with each other and our wives, we need to do that with God. Abiding in God is not saying, God, what's for tea? Abiding in God is telling him what's important. Taking time to listen, to hear what he says back to you. Abiding in God is spending time reading his word and letting that impact our lives. Abiding in God is praying for the needs of others, but it's not a shopping list. This, I've done my duty, I'm out of here. We've got to invest. So I'm encouraging you, don't get disconnected, because that's where discouragement comes from and all the other disses. Don't get disconnected. Remain grafted in to the vine. So how's your relationship with God? And I probably, if we're honest, all of us can say that, yeah, we want to do better and we want more of God. Isn't that right? I mean, are people that think that we're tickety-boo and we're fine and I don't need God to do anything, because just look at my life. I've got it sorted. You know, that is a dangerous place to be, isn't it? All of us, every single one of us here, me, every single one of us, even Colin, we can desire a deeper work and a deeper intimacy and a deeper level of relationship with God. Why is that important? Because we bear fruit that is going to please God, but is going to impact people around us. So it's more than a wish list. It's a time where we can meet with God and feel, at times when we need it, his embrace, wrapping his arms of protection around us. Meeting with God where we can feel his protection, his wisdom, his mercy, his grace, his love. And that doesn't come from just dipping in and dipping out. So are you understanding what I'm saying? I hope I'm trying to encourage you. I'm not condemning anybody today. I'm encouraging us, because there is something more that God has for each and every one of us, however long we've been a Christian. So let me just wrap up. How is the fruit bearing going on in your life? Remember, it's not the same as doing good deeds. It's good to do good things, but it's good to rest in the presence of God. Don't strive. Don't struggle. Rest in God. Let there be a deep confidence in your relationship with God and what God has done from you. And from out of that strong position, go and do the works that God has called you to do. Yeah? Rest, abide, be strong, spend time in God's presence, be transformed. And from that position, go and do what God. But when we just do, well, that's probably not the right thing to say, is it? When we keep going without spending time in God's presence, that's when we can get into difficulties. Guys, let us reevaluate and review what is the basis that we're doing things from? Because that is the strongest place for us to be effective and to bear fruit. So, one thing that I can ask this morning is that I encourage you to work on your closeness and your intimacy with God. Where are you at? Lots of things get in the way. Good things. Lots of things wanting our attention. Good things. Sometimes things that divide our loyalty and divide our hearts. But this morning, God is reminding us through his word, is calling out. His arms are wide open, and he's saying that he wants you to live close to him. He wants you to trust him. Trust him alone for your life, for your future, for your church, for your job, whatever it is that is happening. Trust him.